welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have Kathy Anello as my guest for today's show. Kathy is the author of a book titled 6 Weeks to Live, Making Each Day Matter. Join us for a conversation about how you would choose to live if you only had 6 months left. Welcome, Kathy.
Welcome. Hi, nice to have me. Thank you.
I'm so happy to talk with you about your book, and it's such an important topic, I believe, that we all need to think about. And 6 months or six months left to live, oh my gosh, it's just, you know, the whole idea of that being all you had left to live is really, that's scary. But it also makes you realize, what would you do? You know, really, what changes would you make if you did? And so I'm really looking forward to talking to you about that today.
Well, it has been a wonderful journey for me to, A, write this book and really just live. When I wrote the book, I can honestly tell all your listeners that I actually lived it week by week.
I made sure that I
lived every exercise. I lived every process in the book. That was how I healed myself at that time, and that's what made it the book that it is.
Wow. Well, I remember thinking when I saw the title that I liked the idea of what would you do if you had 6 months left to live, and I didn't realize before I saw the book that you had it divided into the 6 months, and then each one of the months you have a week of what you were focusing on during that week. And I thought that was really interesting. I haven't read the whole book, but it's really, I think, really gets me remembering what would I do if I only had that much time left. And I think that before we get too much into that, though, okay, prior to your launch of your book, you worked in corporate America at a job that was very challenging for 13 years and were the victim of verbal abuse and harassment during the final 2 years. And then you came home one day and turned to Twitter and wrote, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to live? Can you share with us a little bit about how that experience inspired you?
I definitely will. That Twitter post, just makes me emotional. Till today, it makes me emotional to think of that day. But I had worked in a fabulous job. I was at the peak of my game in corporate. You know, I was a CFO and I was working in finance, and I just loved everything and everything about the job and everything about the company. And then somebody came to work there that became in a position of authority over me and was that guy, you know, that type of guy that just didn't know how to speak without bullying and didn't know how to be respectful. And I endured that for a really long time. And every day it got worse and every day it got worse. And then it got to a point where I started to have a lot of anxiety pulling into the driveway. And then it was anxiety when I walked in the office. And then I was having panic attacks when I was sitting in my office, closing my door, trying to breathe in a bag. And it was because then the reason why I was having, I know now, that adverse reaction in my body was because I was tolerating it. And I was, because, you know, it was wrapped around my paycheck and my life and my livelihood and my home life and my children's life. And so there were so many things, and I think this happens to a lot of us in corporate America. We're so tied to that. Like a friend of mine, Kristen Noel, called it the golden handcuffs. And I said, exactly. It's like you get hooked in, and it's a beautiful picture of money, but at the same time, you're killing your soul. So for me, I was tolerating. And then one particularly horrible day, I went into my office and I went on Twitter. Twitter was sort of my go-to because, you know, Facebook, I had all my family and friends, and I couldn't really kind of branch out who I was at that time. So I went on Twitter because nobody knew me. I had like 300 followers, and I wrote in there, I don't know how I'm going to live. And then I put hashtag, I only know how I'm not going to live. And it was at that moment that I heard a voice, again, getting emotional just saying that, which I know now is my higher power wisdom voice. But at the time, I wasn't really that spiritually evolved because I had been working so much. And
right.
It said, if you only had 6 months to live, would you be living this way? And it was like, when I heard that message, I was like, oh my God, hell no. Like, hell no. Like, I wouldn't tolerate this. I would be out the door and I'd be living my life. But I didn't do that for another year. Okay, so that happened. And then another year went by. And I had it in my mind and I was trying to seek spirit and I was looking for ways to make myself feel better. And then the day that I spoke up and said, that's it, no more, I got fired the very next day. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to take this anymore. And as a result of being fired, I lost my identity. I didn't know who I was in that moment anymore. Because I was a mom and I was a girlfriend and I was a, you know, I was a wife, I was a sister, I was a mother, a grandmother, I was all these things. But I didn't even know who I was once I lost that 60-hour-a-week identity that I wore. So that is what really prompted me to get up off the floor. Was after 6 months later, I was sitting on the floor going, Kathy, what are you going to do with your life? You know, I had enough money because I got a nice, you know, parting gift. But I had the money to live. I just didn't know what I was going to do or what my purpose was or my passion was. I didn't know anything about me. And that's when I started to journal and write the book and figure out what it was that was going to, if I only had 6 months, really, what would I do? Like, if this was it, Kathy, you're sitting here, you don't have to go to work every day. You know, your kids are grown. Everybody's sort of established. What are you going to do with your life? And it was like, well, if I only had 6 months, what would I give up? What would I do? What would I bring in? Who would I let go of? Who would stay? You know, those kind of questions. And I just started festering with all this stuff. So I just started journaling, and that's when I was like, wow, there's something to this. This is not going to just be for me. This is for everybody because none of us know. And I'm pretty sure in today's world, even a year, you know, almost 2 years later since I wrote the book, it's never been more prevalent that life can be taken from you in an instant, a tornado, a hurricane, a fire, a war, a biological agent. You know, I mean, there's so many ways now that you go, oh my God, they were just here yesterday, you know, and celebrities that go in their sleep and you're like, what the heck? You know, I just saw her on, or Andrew Bedore, I just saw him on CNN yesterday. It's like, so there's never been a more prevalent time than right now that we should be looking at what is making us happy because we never know what's going to take our life or somebody we love.
Well, you know, that is so true. And Wayne Dyer had asked that question a long time ago. What would you do if you really knew you only had 6 months left to live? And he's saying that, like, you were going to still be healthy and everything could be the same way that it is, except that you had to choose how you were going to live. And I remember thinking about that one years ago, and it's so true. I mean, none of us, what you said is so true. None of us know how long we get to be here on this planet. And for any of us, it could be tomorrow that we're gone or later today or whatever, or somebody that we love. And my mom had her parents left when she was 14 years old to go to a wedding on a plane and never came back, you know. And so we grew up with her always saying to make sure that you spend time with the people you love and to, you know, really to enjoy your life and to appreciate the people in your life. And what you're saying is it really rings true with me and what I've written about in my book as well, because it's like we have to decide who we are and what matters most to us. And so I like that you inspire people to ask themselves the question, would you be living your life this way if you had 6 months left to live? And that, you know, you begin to find joy for people and things that really matter most to you, and to also, how were you able to start living your music again, though, at that point?
Wow, there's so many ways. You know, I mean, I started the book, I started my journey with what am I tolerating? What am I allowing to to be, who am I allowing to be in my life, that if I had 6 months to live, I would not do that. And so once I just kind of started looking at really those types of things. So I the first thing I did was look at tolerance, you know, like, what am I tolerating? And then I kind of went into, and I can read from the book. It's like, basically the second thing was getting real in my relationships. Like, it really boils down to who is important and who gets your time and who do you want to spend time with. And if you boil those people down, then why aren't we doing that now? You know, why aren't we making time for those relationships and people today? And then in the third week, which was probably the most profound week of my journey, was the joy jumps, was getting joy and feeling joy again. Because really, my joy channel in corporate America and also in some private parts of my life, my joy channel had been turned off. And I did not understand the feeling anymore of happiness and joy. I didn't feel it. I just was like a robot going through my days, which a lot of us do. You know, we go home, we do this, we do laundry, we clean dinner, we go to the grocery store. But we don't ever say, ooh, what's that feeling in my stomach? You know, oh my God, this is delightful. And living in that grace. And so I was working with a therapist because I had literally lost my identity and I did not know what to do. So I had a wonderful therapist at the time, and he basically put me on a 30-day joy diet. And he said, that's what it was, 30 days. And
I love it.
And that's what when I say I live this book, I mean I live this book. So for 30 days, for 2 hours, and I know that everybody doesn't have 2 hours a day, but I did have 2 hours a day. And he said, for 2 hours a day, you will do something that brings you joy, self-joy. So it could have been a hike. It could have been dining out for lunch. It could have been a shopping spree, a massage, a swim, a reading, you know, hanging out with people that you have, you know, going on a trip. Basically, anything that I thought brought me self-joy. And then I started also at that same time listening to Abraham Hicks talk about your feelings and how you have to feel joy in your body and that you have to feel happiness in your body. And so really those two things in that 30 days is what brought me back, because as soon as you start feeling joy again, you chase it. You're wired to follow it. Like, you are like, bring those joy moments, because this is what makes me feel alive.
Oh, I know, moments of joy. And the thing is joy lives in the moment. It lives in present moments. It's not in, like, what's going to happen later today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, or even the past. I mean, although there can be moments you remember of joy from the past. But, yeah, joy comes from actually being present and paying attention to how you feel. And I love what Abraham Hicks has to say about it, too, about the scale of emotions and appreciation and gratitude and joy and love are all at the top. And the feelings down at the bottom are ones like regret, resentment, rage, revenge, fear, depression, sadness, all of those things. And, you know, I love how they say, though, that you can't jump from those feelings all the way up to joy. It's just too big of a jump. It's a quantum jump from there. And so, you know, that leads us into what John wanted us to talk about. Here, the four R's, he called them, regret, resentment, rage, and revenge. And while they're words I don't think about that often, it's so many people get stuck in those. And what is the common thread that ties all of these together for you?
It was an interesting time in my life. Let's say that particular time, I was living, you know, living in some environments, some of my circles, people were resentful. And I looked at resentment like this, like blood-sucking insect in your body, because resentment means I'm blaming you for what happened. And the truth is, we all know that, like my life coach Nancy Levin says, we are all 100% responsible for 50% of what happens in any relationship. Mm-hmm. And so when you're resentful of another person, you're putting all the onus on them for what's happening without being able to look at yourself. And so then resentment, if you can't do anything with it, could lead to rage, and rage leads, when you can't do anything with your rage, it leads to revenge. And I remember at that time my favorite show was the show Revenge. It was an ABC show where this lady came back and she wanted revenge on all these people. And I remember, like, watching that show thinking, yeah, you know, like, you get them. And then I thought, oh, my God, that is the most unhealthy emotion, because I'm making up scenarios in my head that I'm thinking are true because I'm putting this person in my revenge plot. And it all just kind of came together for me that, you know, the regret part was about I can't change what happened, but I'm still living with the pain. And mm-hmm. So if you're living in regret, you're not present. You're saying, oh, my God, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, shouldn't have done this. Mm-hmm. What a big mistake I made. What, oh, my God, what, how can I, you can't go back and change the things that you regret. You can only make amends and go forward. And so when I put all those together, I was like, yeah, it's like the F word is really what that chapter was supposed to say. It's like, you know, the R right. word is basically, if you're going to live with these four things, then you're not living in your present moment. You're not making each day matter, because they're robbing you of the moments of joy and gratitude and love and, you know, truth and health and all those things. So for me, that was basically me sort of checking myself and hopefully osmosisly helping other people in my life, but by the way they were living, and trying to say, look, these things aren't good. These, you know, I think mm-hmm. In the very first chapter, I have a quote by this gentleman, Dieter Uchtdorf, and this was written in like 1901 or something, but it says, holding grudges, judging others, hating, wanting to cause harm, withholding forgiveness, gossiping, ridiculing, ignoring others, withholding mercy, throwing stones. Stop it. And I was like, exactly. Life is just too short to allow any of these emotions to hold you back from living.
It's so true. And the thing is that they really only hurt us. It just keeps us stuck in blame and
yeah.
shame and unhappiness and depression and feeling out of control of our situation also. So, you know, in order to go on with your life, you need to, like you said, take some responsibility for your part of it. And learn from it. Learn from what happened, and then decide, okay, I'm going to do this differently in the future. But yeah, it just makes me so sad when I see people talking about resentment, rage, revenge, regrets, all the things that they hate, all the things that are wrong in our world, instead of what
right.
can they do, you know, to make it better.
Well, and the thing about all those four emotions. Is that if you only had 6 months to live, the
mm-hmm.
first thing you would do is fix your regret. You
mm-hmm.
would completely throw out any resentment at all, because it would be pointless to hold on to it.
Right.
And rage and revenge wouldn't be anywhere near you, because you'd be like, why am I going to be angry? I'm not even going to be here in 5 months. Like, who cares? So
yeah.
if that's your truth in the 6 months to live, then why aren't we just being that way today? Like, why is, because like we started the show, like any day could be your last. Live in it today, and you would make amends for your regrets. You would call those people you could apologize to and apologize, or you would, you know, go back and try to do something different or help somebody out that you might have regretted not helping before. You would do those things. So really for me, it was about, let's just get rid of this. Let's get rid of the R words altogether and start, you know, bringing joy back into our lives.
I'm all for that. I'm totally all for that. Now, one of the questions that came up was, how can listing your regrets and resentments help you in the letting go process? And that I really don't know, because I haven't ever done that. So how does that help to list them, and how and why?
You know what? It really, really, really helped me. I sat down and I wrote down, and I think I share a couple in one of the chapters, just about little things that I go back and a simple example of what came up for me. So I kind of just sat down and said, if you could write down all your regrets, what would they be? And this one thing came up, which was so random, and it said, I never would have stolen that statue when I was 9 years old, because that allowed me to think shoplifting was okay when I was 15 years old. And I thought about that, and I thought, do I dare share this? But the truth was, I regretted things that I never thought I would even come up. So what the exercise does for you is it gives you an opportunity to just go out there and say, you know, if I regret this, now I know this. I can't unthink this. I think I wrote, I regret not exercising every single day. I regret not going, getting to know myself better because I spent my whole life living somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
Not spending enough time with my grandmother, absorbing that wisdom. Friendships I never get a chance, I gave a chance because I thought they were beneath me because I thought I was some cool person and I thought, wow. And then 10 years later at my high school reunion, I'm like, you're a great human being and I missed out on that. So there was things it's kind of like an exercise where you just sit down and purge it and see what comes out on the paper. And then I have a theory. And I take this from Jeff Probst from Survivor, my favorite show, and one of the shows where somebody did something that they regretted, and he said, wow, sorry, but you can't unring that bell. And I was like, that's it. You can't unring the bell. So once you know something and you know you, so then you're like, then I tell my grandsons, you listen to your grandmother because I promise you're going to want to do this someday. You know, you're going to want this knowledge. And we can share with other people or, you know, somehow be a light for someone else when you've kind of learned what you wish you hadn't done. Not that everybody will listen, but.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody in the whole world has regrets of some sorts. And the thing for me is that I've found that if I can learn from what I regret either doing or not doing or not saying or whatever, then I can feel better and it can become a life lesson instead of just be something that's holding me back. And,
yeah.
You know, guilt and worry, you know, Wayne Dyer talked about those too back in erroneous zones about how what useless emotions they were as well. And it's so true. You know, we can't go back and change the past, but we can start from where we are right here and we can go forward. And that's what I think is really cool about your book is, and about what you're saying is that it's reminding people that we can take a look back at what we regret and maybe resentments we've had in the past or things that have happened in the past and then learn from them and then decide what we want to make as our choices now, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it did for me. You know, I'm not going to lie and say, oh, I live this completely regret-free life because I don't. And But now when I do something that I regret, I know it a lot quicker. I make amends a lot quicker. I pick up the phone and say, I'm sorry, instead of just saying, well, I can't fix that. You know, like I do things, but I do things I regret. Like this is human nature. Like we do it. And, but I don't let it fester for my whole life. I don't have a list anymore where if someone said to me, what do you regret now? And I tried to write my list, I'd be like, maybe three things.
In
2 years.
The list gets shorter.
I clean it up now. As soon as I regret it, I'm like, oops, whoa, got to pick up the phone and call her. Sorry I did that. Sorry I wasn't there for you. Sorry I stood you up. Sorry I, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I make amends because I know that if I died tomorrow, I do not want one person in my world. Damn, I wish we hadn't had that fight. Darn it, I wish we hadn't, you know. It makes me emotional when I talk about it because that's the truth. The truth is you don't want that for that person, people that you love, you know? So what changed for me and my family when I wrote this book was how many times we say love you when we leave each other or we hug and kiss every single time.
That's something I learned a long time ago through a story someone else told, a speaker told about. And to always say love you when you're saying bye to people, and it's so true. I mean, you never know when's the last time you're gonna talk to somebody, and so it's really important to say love you.
Well, during the writing of this book, I can't remember what chapter it is. It might be. Oh, I can't remember. But we did lose a family member rather tragically also to a car accident. And it was one of those things where it might be in Death and Dying that I wrote in that chapter on Death and Dying. But I remember getting the news. I remember driving. I was in the car when I got the news. And I remember thinking I didn't even notice that I had gone to another exit. You know, like it was like, where was I for the moment when I got that news? And the person who was the closest to this person had had a fight with them the night before.
Oh.
And the last thing they did, and the last thing they did was they sent a text to them saying, "I'm sorry. I love you. Call me when you wake up in the morning." And never knew if they got that text, and lived with a lot of regret and sadness. And it was someone very close to me, and I witnessed that, and I was like, oh, you know, because there it is, like, that's it. Like, so if you send somebody a mean text and they get in a car accident, then you're going to feel pretty crappy for a long time. Like, so why do it? Why send a mean text? Why send a mean message or a voicemail? Wait and talk to that person, you know, and make things right.
I totally agree. We've only got 4 minutes left. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God. I can talk to you forever.
What are some of the takeaways that you hope people will take away from your journey and from the book?
You know, the main thing would be the changes that I made, you know, was learning to say no when you want to say no, and learning to say yes to all the fun. You know, like, I have a friend who's like, I don't want to go out. I'm just going to sit home. And I'm like, no. You're coming out. Like, start living. Start saying yes. Start saying no when you want to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Stop tolerating unnecessary drama. Just push it out. And when someone comes at you with drama, you're like, I'm not there. I'm putting up my bubble. Saying I love you, you know, hugging more, and really being present with your truth. Clarifying that people hear the truth from you, you know, those kinds of things. And also just, I also live like as much as I can, just allowing my day to unfold for me and waking up naturally and not living in that frenetic craziness of rushing life that we all do. So those are just a couple of the takeaways, but really it's about being present. And then really this book will help you identify what and who is important. And there's exercises at the end of every chapter that really ask you to kind of dig deep into your own answers. You can do it in your tape recorder. You don't have to write it down. Like, it's just the questions to ponder, I think, it is one of the biggest things that I get feedback from people who send me emails and stuff. They're like, your questions changed my day, changed my world.
Wow. I love that. Questions are so important, too, because depending on what questions you ask, you get totally different answers. Wow. Well, 6 months left to live. Yeah, it really makes you think. It really does. It really makes you think about who you're going to spend time with and what you're going to spend time doing. And it also is a reminder for everyone out there to live your music. Do some of whatever you love to do and what gives you joy each day, as Kathy was just saying. It's just, that's what living your music means to me, is to do what your heart feels like you're here to do. And for some people, that's actually music. For other people, it's writing books, it's being a parent or teaching or whatever. But just living a joyful life, I think, is living your music. Don't you, Kathy?
Well, yeah. And isn't it, Wayne Dyer said, don't die with your music still in you. And so I really resonate with that, because we all have something to give this world. So go out there and do it. Be it. Live it. Love it. Like, just open up yourself.
Yeah, he was actually why I named my show Live Your Music, because I wanted to say it without the don't and without the die.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah, live your music, everyone. Woohoo!
Yeah, you got to. That's living. That's living. Dance.
Yeah,
like
that's...
nobody's watching.
Yeah, exactly. And people can get your book on Amazon, is that correct?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the typical, you know, sort of avenues, but mostly people buy from the Amazon. And I think my Kindle is actually on sale right now, so people could download the Kindle, I think, for $3.80. And it's a good book. And then on my website, which is www.kathyanello.com, and I'm on every social media platform. I don't think I'm on Pinterest, but I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and constantly. So they can find me there, or email me at kathy@kathyanello.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kathy. We're about to run out of time for our live show, and I really appreciate you being on and reminding us all to think about what we would do if we only had 6 months left to live and to make the most of each day, to make each day matter. Thank you so much for being on my show, for writing my book, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah, please
thank
share
you.
The show
thank
with
you
your friends
me.
And family. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you for having me. All right, bye, Margo.
Bye, Kathy. Bye, everyone.